Hi, welcome to See What Show. This is the movie, TV and DVD podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
Hi, and I'm Tammy.
This week we review I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
And a little bit of romantic comedy with no reservations.
Firefly, the TV series on DVD, and the movie Serenity. But first, what's showing this week?
What's showing this week?
Yay! Paper sound.
This week, opening Balls of Fury, which we will review next week. It's about the underground ping pong scene.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I know.
Christopher Walken, right?
Yeah, it's the bad guy. And there's a lot of campy humor in it. And it's got Maggie Q, which probably saved the day for me, actually. But I'll tell you more about it next week. The other movie they're showing this week?
It's Underdog.
Oh, yeah.
The dog from space.
He's from
here
space,
to save. Well, looking at the trailers, it seems like it. There's this whole sci-fi comic book, dog save the world thing going on.
It's not a smart dog.
No, not that he's a smart... Well, he is a smart dog.
It's not that the dog is like some smart
super,
dog.
No, it's not. It's that the dog had some ray. He was beamed onto Earth, like beamy up.
So he's an alien.
Or something. It seems like it.
Okay.
That seems to be where they're going. He's basically here to save the Earth.
I think I'll bring Isaac to watch that. And what's showing this week is also The Invasion with Nicole Kidman. I saw the trailer for this one. It looked very drama like that, where everyone is basically possessed by aliens, and Nicole Kidman is like the last human standing with her kid.
With her whispery voice and her kid.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether this movie is going to be any good. I get worried when I see Nicole Kidman do science fiction.
Yeah, she hasn't really had a very good track record.
A bit spotty, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope it's not going to be boring. But I'm such a science fiction freak, I might actually watch it just to see what's going to happen. But first, review time!
See what show? Review time.
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry is the first movie we're reviewing. What's that awful sound? That's my watch.
Your gold Casio watch.
My gold Casio watch from theoldtech.com. Adam Sandler and Kevin James are Chuck and Larry, okay? Two Brooklyn firemen who are caught in a very difficult situation. Well, red tape, prevented Larry, which is Kevin James, from making his kids the beneficiaries of his pension.
So he's married?
He was. His wife passed away.
I see.
So he convinces his best friend, Chuck, who's this playboy guy, to pretend to be gay. And then they get married, civil union, blah, 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 to get around this beneficiary problem, okay? It was supposed to be a quiet thing at first, but... it was supposed to be something that was a union on paper, but things got very complicated when the union is being investigated in the light of recent similar cases of fraud.
Oh, I see. So guys just get married just because.
Well, yeah, all sorts of cases like that, where people are taking advantage of unions to, reap benefits, pension benefits. And they have to end up very publicly living out their gay marriage.
Oh.
Right. I have to tell you, the movie is schoolboy humor and politically very incorrect, so be warned. There's a lot of gay and racial stereotype humor.
Yeah, he knows about our partnership, and he's just here checking up on us, making sure we're not running a scam to collect illegal benefits.
People do that? What is with the world? It just makes me so sad and gay to think of that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
I want to go to my room right now and listen to Boy George records. Calm down.
So, you've moved your relationship to the next level. How's it been going?
Oh, great. We've just been having sex with each other all the time.
Loads of sex.
Gay, crazy sex.
Man on man. Loving every minute of it.
I've never seen Adam Sandler do a politically correct movie.
True. But still, everybody in the cinema was pretty much laughing from the very beginning, laughing really hard.
Oh.
Sandler is in form, his true form as this womanizer. I mean, you look at him, he's not hunk and he tries, but yeah, he plays it very well. I think it's maybe tongue-in-cheek. He plays this womanizer who can bait any woman he meets. And he has girlfriends everywhere, like his doctor in hospital, Asian hooter girls, five of them.
Actually, every single Adam Sandler movie, he's always
lots of women.
The womanizer. Yeah.
And a pair of hot sisters who fight over him at the beginning. He seems to be enjoying himself playing the cat, right? And Kevin James, lovable guy, is mostly there as his foil. He's the widower who has two kids.
The one with morals.
Yeah, can't get over his wife. you know, very angst, very, you know, torn. And the surprising supporting character was Ving Rhames.
Who's that?
The black guy in Mission Impossible.
He's the guy who's like always the muscle and really like smart.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the silent black dude fireman in the show, and he plays, oh gosh, I can't tell you the story. I can't tell you because it will spoil the movie for you, but he displays a comedic side I've never seen. Okay.
Wow.
He's very funny.
So is it a bit like Morpheus doing comedy?
No, not the same. Usually you see him in action flicks as the badass guy, right?
Mm.
Here he's the badass guy too. Just a different kind of badass guy. Jessica Biel is a resident hottie.
Yes.
Come eye candy. You know what? She doesn't really do much except provide the hot body and love interest for Adam Sandler.
In the lingerie. I saw the shots, man.
Yeah. Jessica Biel is their lawyer who's helping them to fight City Hall, you know, challenging their union. I don't think any guy was complaining about her shallow role because, you know, you get to see her in very little clothes and Adam Sandler gets to squeeze her boobies.
I see.
Yeah. Other cameos include David Spade from Just Shoot Me.
Oh, the short dude.
And Rob Schneider is uncredited as the Asian priest who speaks like this.
That's Rob Schneider?
Ask for the wedding link.
I now pronounce you husband and husband. You may kiss the husband.
Oh my god!
I know, it's a bad joke, but it, you know, it's Rob Schneider.
I didn't know it's
I know,
him.
You gotta pay attention. And it's not in the credits too. The movie is like M18 for homosexual content. So young people can forget about going. I think our version, even at M18, was cut because it mentions nudity, but there wasn't any nudity in our Singapore version. Let's put it this way. If you dislike Blades of Glory for its, like, you know, homophobic jokes, the gay jokes, I now pronounce you, Chuck and Larry, is probably not your cup of tea. It's not something you want to watch because of its, like, schoolboy humor and all the stereotypes that is, you know, perpetuating.
Wait, the nudity, did it come from Jessica Biel?
Gosh, I hope so. I thought the movie made fun, actually, personally, made more fun of homophobia than homosexuality, but hey, that's just me. Yeah, so that's, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Watch it, but know what you're watching if you're going.
Well, we told you so. Anyway, on to something a little bit lighter.
Lighter. Chick flick, is it?
Yes, chick flick. Ew. This is a chick flick with
food
as a
theme. That was a guy flick. This is a chick flick.
So it's a good balance, you see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's No Reservations, and this is a chick flick with food as a theme. That's always welcome. It's about this top French chef in New York. Her name is Kate, whose life is all about her work. No relationship, no friends, no family. Well, save for one sister who lives in another state. Now, her world gets overturned when her sister dies in a car accident and she's left the sole guardian of her niece, Zoe. Now, she's not really the kind of person you'd associate with children, and taking care of a grieving child is no joke.
I have no idea what to do with a kid, especially one who's lost her mother. There has to be someone better suited to this.
And if that isn't enough, the restaurant that she works at decide to hire a sous chef that is everything that she isn't. Nick Palmer is loud, over the top, exuberant, and she finds it really difficult to work with him. But, you know, in romantic comedy style, ends up being really attracted to him. And the delicious Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Kate. And she adds the right amount of grace and elegance to the part. So,
really?
You know, she doesn't end up sounding like a snarling, frigid old bat, you know, who's perfectionist and never going to get married and lives with the 27 cats.
She's a cook, She's a chef?
Yes, she's a chef.
Sous chef or what chef?
Chef, hit chef.
Oh.
And Nick Palmer, the guy, is a sous chef. Yeah.
Oh.
And, the movie opens with her talking about how to cook quail and the flavors and everything. You can almost imagine it through her voice, that delicious low alto voice. Now, Catherine Zeta-Jones has aged, definitely.
I was
going to
ask, like, is she lao chiu already, is it?
Yeah, she lao chiu la, you know. But there's something distinguished about her, you know. She delivers her lines with enough punch, you know, without the frigidness, but with enough fluidness.
At the risk of
sarcasm.
Being ageist, I don't know. I romantic comedies, you know, I'm thinking Drew Barrymore, but Catherine Zeta-Jones.
True.
Middle-aged or like 40s.
Mid-30s, actually.
She looks 40s already.
She does. But it's sort of, you can sort of suspend belief a little bit because of the way she carries herself off is just so fluid. And there was this one scene where a customer sends back his steak 3 times because she said that, you know, she overcooked it.
I said, I want my steak rare.
So she promptly stabs a raw steak and marches out to the table, slams it down and says,
Mariner for you?
You out of your mind?
Yeah.
And then she marches straight out of the restaurant. And, you know, to me, it really brought out the whole strong will, I am woman, hear me raw thing. I did, yeah, well,
she always plays this kind of women, eh?
She does, the fiery spitfire, you know. Okay. But I don't know, it seems to suit her. And on the other end of the scale is Nick, played by Aaron Eckhart. He's not usually typecasted as the playful, charming rogue, but he does a decent job of it. Not exactly the man I would swoon over. But then again, I'm busy, you know, watching Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay, you're getting me worried now. Okay.
He proves he can do the whole young at heart thing, especially in the scenes where he's interacting with Zoe, okay, who is Abigail Breslin. Now, she is the Little Miss Sunshine girl.
Oh, she.
The one who was She's nominated cute. For an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, but lost to Jennifer Hudson and her powerful lungs.
Yeah.
Abigail's chubby, wide-eyed face really makes Zoe somewhat lovable, and her acting's really touching, you know, especially the part where she's missing her mother and things like that. But somewhere throughout the movie, I found it difficult to empathize with her because she gave Kate so much crap. Yeah, what I didn't like, though, is the sudden jump between the moments that were happy and romantic. You know, there's got to be a certain amount of grief because her sister died, but, it's just sort of weighed the whole thing down. I didn't fall in love with the movie like I wanted to, but it's an okay romantic comedy as far as it goes.
Was it funny?
The funny parts were cute. You know, it was sort of like, ah, and that's it.
Not laugh, ha, ha, laugh.
It's not a slap your thigh and bend over laughing laugh. It's sort of like a sweet chuckle, and, you know, you want to fall in love with the characters, but you sort of fall short.
Okay. You know? It's like a not-so-good Ratatouille with humans.
Yeah, and you know what? The food, it didn't look as good as Ratatouille, which is sad considering, right, that it's real food.
Yeah,
you know?
And that one's animated, right?
Yeah, but, you know, if you really like romantic comedies, why not? You know, just give it a shot. Get your fix for the weekend.
Okay, if your girlfriend dragged you there or your wife dragged you there, Mr. Brown empathizes. Okay, the last movie we're reviewing today is Serenity and the TV series Firefly. I know I'm a bit late coming into this series. I finally got out of watching Firefly, which is a 2002-2003 kind of period sci-fi TV series from Joss Whedon.
Ooh, the creators of Angel and Buffy.
And the TV show was axed after less than a season.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but the fans made it into a cult series after the DVD came out. And it was really, really popular.
So it's
lots
a bit
of
like
DVD sales.
Family Guy got axed and then
wasn't
fans
axed,
made
it. It brought it back, but this was totally axed.
I mean, totally not coming back at all? No,
never.
No comeback, nothing?
Never. There were 14 episodes in total, and it ends in a movie, Serenity. More on that later. Oh. Firefly is about a group of renegades who live in the year 2517, when humans have left the dying Earth to new star system to start a new life there. So now, in this time period, China and US are now a combined superpower. Who make up the alliance. So as such, you get this weird mix of people speaking English and Chinese, badly.
Bad Chinese? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And their cities are very clean, very modern. They're called the Alliance. This
How can it be China? It's clean.
No, it's modern China.
Oh,
ah. Meanwhile, there are like cities in the outer fringes of this galaxy, of this star system. Oh, you know, this
so
is
it's
pining.
Like the suburbs of the star system.
Pretty much, yeah. Not as orderly, not as obedient.
Oh, the Bronx.
Because they're all pioneers, you see. This is an era where people are, you know, humans are striking out, right? So some parts of this, you know, the orderly part is belonging to the Alliance, but further away from the city centers, you get all this, like, frontier land. It's a very odd mix of spaceships, modern science, and also cowboys and horses. You see, it's a sci-fi western.
What is it? Is it like a mechanical horse or something?
No. They have regular horses, and then they have spaceships, you see. You got to believe this, you see. Not all the planets are that developed, see. So you got these pioneers of the, you know, old west, right? Except that the planets are your new frontiers, lah.
Okay.
And Captain Malcolm Reynolds is the leader of this crew of the ship called Serenity, which is a Firefly-class transport ship.
Can you stop from being cheerful, please?
I don't believe there's a power in the verse stopping you from being cheerful. Sometimes you just want to duct tape your mouth and don't burn the hole for a month.
I love my captain.
That's why the title is called Firefly. Firefly is the class of ship. They have many Fireflies being used.
Oh, it's like the Airbus, the Boeing 747s.
Yeah,
okay.
So Serenity is the name of the ship. And this guy, Captain Malcolm Reynolds, is an ex-independence volunteer soldier, a brown coat. Now, the brown coats were the ones who fought for independence during a civil war against the Alliance. So there was a period of time when people rebelled against the alliance because they didn't want to be part of the alliance. They wanted independence.
Okay.
They didn't want to be told what to do. Well, his side lost. The independence lost. So this is post-Civil War.
Okay.
Yeah, and his crew includes his tough cookie first mate, Zoe, her husband, Wash, who's the motor mouth pilot. Kaylee is this very cheerful country girl mechanic. Jane is a guy. He's a gun-crazy mercenary who provides all the muscle and the firepower. On board their ship, they have other guests like Inara, who is a companion with a capital C. He's a kind of a high-class registered prostitute for rich people. She rents a shuttle from Captain Malcolm Reynolds on the Serenity for her work.
Okay.
So she has a shuttle where she can, when they land on the planet, she go and visit her customers.
So it's the moving red light district.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a very, very respected kind of prostitute. Like. When they have a guild and they got rules and, you know, it's companion with a capital C. It's like escort.
It's like geisha with the sex.
Something like that. La. They also have a guy called Shepherd Book. Shepherds are actually preachers, la, pastors, la, reverend, like that, who has a mysterious past, but he's a very religious man. He was one of their passengers and ended up being part of the crew. And then finally, they have two other passengers, Dr. Simon Tam and his sister, teenage sister, River Tam.
Where'd she go?
I can't keep track of her when she's not incorporeally possessing a spaceship. Don't look at me.
That's some nonsensical crap. Ain't nobody can do that. You somewhere on this boat, somewhere with a comm playing games. That's somewhat unsettling.
Okay, these two are on the run from the Alliance. And Simon is a doctor who ends up serving as a medic on his on the captain's ship, and River is a teenage girl with an odd temperament and unusual talents. She's psychic.
Ooh.
Yeah, and both of them are on the run, and you have to watch the series. It unfolds why the Alliance is after her and the brother, and of course they bring a lot of trouble to this group of, you know, smugglers already lah, who are already in trouble themselves. So we follow their journey as they try to make a living doing legal and illegal runs, you know, jobs, while evading the pervasive Alliance who have a huge interest in catching River. Okay. And I love the series. It took a while to get going, but once you get into it, you can't stop watching it. And the character development and the unusual premise, you really have to either accept the idea that there's such a world as a sci-fi Western,
mm-hmm.
or you won't enjoy the series because it's really weird. Now, Serenity is the movie that was not supposed to be made. Okay, they made a movie called Serenity, and it was the conclusion to the series.
Okay.
When you ever seen a movie made out of a TV series that was cancelled, right? Well, this thing happened. The fans of the series Firefly helped Joss Whedon make the movie happen. They raised funds, they petitioned. Yeah, it was a huge online campaign.
Shooks, yeah.
Big fans. And it is a good conclusion to the series, so you should try to watch Firefly first and then watch Serenity as a conclusion.
But does it stand alone as a movie?
It does, but the time I watched Serenity first, then I watched Firefly, then I went back and watched Serenity again, and then I had a deeper appreciation of the movie.
I see.
Yeah. In the movie Serenity, you learn of the darker secrets of the Alliance and what they were trying to hide and why they were after River. And the Firefly crew are pursued by a very highly skilled Alliance operative and assassin who will stop at nothing to complete his mission of capturing River. Watching the movie Serenity makes up for it a little bit, because there was some closure.
Interesting.
Okay, so that's Siwa's show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it.
Cool.
We'll be back next week. We'll do Balls of Fury, for one thing, and a couple of other shows. So thanks for listening. This is Mr. Brown signing off.
And this is Tammy.
Bye-bye.
A production of CWhatShow.com.